May be seated. Please join me as we go before the Lord briefly again in prayer. Father, we come to you now as we look at your word. We ask that you would open it up to us. Help us to understand afresh the beauty and the majesty of what you have done for us. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's Christmas Eve. I hope you know that. Hope all your presents are wrapped. If you're like Sarah and I, they will be wrapped at some point between now and tomorrow morning. We have quite a few still to do. But this is a magical time of year. And this evening, what I want to do is just take a few minutes to highlight three truths from this story that was just read out to us. The story of Jesus' birth from the second chapter of Luke's gospel. Because this story is the very reason why we are here, why we celebrate Christmas to begin with. Well, the first truth that the Christmas story shows us is that God's good news comes through unexpected means. We learn that in the opening line of the story. In verse 1, it reads like a history book. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Now, if nothing else, this should remind us that the Christmas story is not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. This is a true story that is embedded in history. Well, we're told that this census was ordered by the ruler of the Roman Empire. And it was done, likely, so that he could tax his subjects. Maybe also so that he could boast about how many people were in his kingdom. Well, this census was undoubtedly an inconvenient interruption in everybody's lives. Since Joseph was a descendant of David, he was required to go to Bethlehem, because if you remember, David was from Bethlehem. Nobody in their right mind would want to take that 85 to 90 mile trek in a donkey, no less, with your future wife with you, who is 9 months pregnant, just so that the government could gain some more money from you. Not many would sign up for that. But Joseph and Mary, they did it dutifully, along with everyone else in the Roman Empire. But I want us to pay attention to the story, because just as Caesar was fulfilling his selfish ambitions through this census, it was God, through this very same census, who is fulfilling his plan for the world. God uses unexpected means to accomplish his eternal purposes. You may know that the Messiah was predicted to be born in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah said the same hundreds of years before. Listen to his words from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. He says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." So God used this Roman ruler's census to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem so that Jesus could be born there and thus fulfill the prophecy that had come so many hundreds of years before, so that Jesus might fulfill the scriptures. Well, friends, this should encourage us today. When life seems overwhelming or challenging or confusing or even wrong or evil with the things that we're going through, we can question what is happening in this world. Well, the story of Christmas shows us that God is always at work, even through things like censuses or when we have to pay more taxes or things like that, and that he will bring his purposes even through the most unexpected means. Well, that's the first truth we learn, that God's good news comes through unexpected means. Brings us to the second truth we learn from the Christmas story, which is that God's good news comes to ordinary people. Now, this news was big. You know, there's news that's big and then really big. There's never been ever bigger news than this. The Savior of the world had been born. And so it's natural that God would send an angel to announce this good news. What's surprising is that God didn't send the angel to Herod's palace. He didn't send the angel to the religious leaders. He didn't send the angel to the most wealthy and influential and educated people of that time. No, to announce this news, God sent the angel to a bunch of shepherds. Now, no matter what you think of shepherds, back in the first century, people did not think highly of shepherds. This was not a profession that one went into if you were trying to find prestige or honor of any kind. As a group, shepherds were generally not trusted. They operated on the fringes of society. But this is precisely who God sent the angel to. And that should tell us a lot about the God of the universe, about who he is and what his heart is like. You see, the God of the universe loves the marginalized. He loves the oppressed. He loves the least and the forgotten. He loves those who know that they are in need. Well, what is the good news that the angel brings? We're told in this famous verse, in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Well, this is a general truism that you can only know how good this news is if you first know the bad news. If you don't know you need a Savior, you won't know why this is good news. Remember what Jesus said some years later when he started his public ministry. He said, "I came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In other words, to receive the good news, you need to know and admit the bad news, that you are a sinner who is alienated from God. You see, every single one of us is born alienated from God because of our disobedience to him, and because we have inherited a sinful nature from our first father, the first man, Adam. So any type of disobedience to God is sin. Doesn't matter how little of a white lie it is or how big it may be, any kind of disobedience to God, anything that goes against his revealed will and his word is sin. The Bible says the payment for this sin is death, eternal separation from God. So that's why Jesus being born into this world is truly good news, because God gave us his solution to our sin problem by sending Jesus to be our Savior. Well, this good news was so good, it was so big, that an army of angels also appeared to those shepherds. Wouldn't you love to be a shepherd back then in the first century? Listen to what this army of angels said or sang out in verse 14. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Well, this good news brings glory to God in the highest, because salvation is from him. Salvation is from the Lord. And it gives peace to those among those with whom he is pleased. Well, who are those with whom God is pleased? It's those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who believe in the solution to the problem of sin that we have. Those are the ones with whom God is pleased. And to them is promised peace. Peace with God. Reconciliation with God. That ultimately will lead to reconciliation to our fellow man and lead to peace on the earth. Well, so the second truth we learn from the Christmas story is that God's good news comes to ordinary people like you and like me. Well, that brings us to the third truth we learn from the Christmas story, which is that God's good news demands a response. Once the shepherds heard the good news about the birth of Jesus, they didn't just sit around. They acted. The text says they went with haste to see what the angel had declared. And sure enough, it was all true. They found Mary and Joseph and little baby lying there, Jesus lying there in the manger. And they couldn't help but share what the angels had said about Jesus, that he was the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there must have been some other people there, because the text says all who heard what the shepherds said wondered at this news. This whole experience transformed the shepherds. They went back to the fields glorifying God and praising God for all they had seen and heard. And friends, the point is that you cannot be indifferent about Jesus. When you are confronted with the good news about Jesus, that he came to earth to live a perfect life for you and to die for your sins, rising from the dead 3 days later, in order to bring you back to God, it requires a response. Now, for some, the response has been up to this point, well, I'm going to reject him. I'm going to go my own way. Others may be skeptical of him and keep him at arm's length. Well, I just want to live my own life. I'll think about religion and stuff like that later on. Well, that's another form of rejecting him. Or there's another option. You can embrace him as Savior and Lord. The first two responses will lead to your eternal ruin. But the third, the last, will result in eternal life. That is, life to the full, life as God intended it to be. Well, the Christmas story reminds us that God's good news comes through unexpected means. It comes to ordinary people like you and me, and that it demands a response. And so on this Christmas Eve, I just want to ask you, what is your response to Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Savior of the world? And have you embraced him as your Savior and Lord? If you haven't done that, there's no greater time than Christmas to trust in Jesus. You can do that by just admitting to God, praying out to him, calling out to him, saying, yes, I admit I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and I believe the Savior is Jesus. I believe what he's done for me is sufficient. I want to trust him with my life. If you say something like that, and that reflects the desire of your heart, you will be saved. For many of us, we do know and love Jesus. And so our response today should be one of awe and gratefulness and wonder. If you know and love Jesus, let us rejoice today with the famous lines from the song we just sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It says, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Friends, let us rejoice today that unto us was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, oh the wonder. Oh the wonder of your plan of salvation. Nothing we would have dreamed up, nothing we would have imagined, nothing we would have thought was possible, but Lord, with you all things are possible. And so we look back at what happened 2,000 years ago, and we see how what happened 2,000 years ago is now transforming our life today, and we rejoice and we give you thanks. And Lord, we pray that as we celebrate tonight, as we celebrate Christmas tomorrow, that we would remember that Jesus truly is the reason for this season. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.